It is time for us to join our good friends at the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com. On the web, they're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They supply lots of news, information, event happenings, and more at theberkshireedge.com. And once a week, we like to get together and sit with them and talk about just a few of the stories that we're following. So we'll say good morning once again to Marcy and David. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
And how are things in Great Barrington this morning?
Well, they're they're turbulent. Like the whole world is turbulent at the moment.
Well, you know,
and we are having reflections of the turbulence right here on our local lake, where a bunch of skaters from New York defied health.
You know that place. You know that place, New York.
From Columbia County, out of towners, County, none wearing masks came to skate on our little lake.
Well, and what happened when that happened?
What did happen?
People, I guess people on both sides got upset at one another.
They refused to wear masks.
They refused to wear masks.
It was a group of about 30 to 50 people, mostly school children, with a few adults, and they refused to wear masks.
Yep.
I don't know why they came to...
They needed a pond to try to play, to skate on.
And, the adult with these kids said that the virus was a hoax,
yep,
and that the group wouldn't wear masks. And someone called the Great Barrington Police Department, who said that there was really nothing that the department could do because the enforcement of protocols was not a police issue, the duty of the health department. So, and one officer finally did respond, but couldn't do anything. So,
yeah.
I don't know why they came here, I guess it was Sunday in the health department. And so the town has, there are signs that, they warned visitors to, the signs were more to make sure, people be careful walking out on the ice. But that's what happened.
One of the local people, Neil Abrams, who happened to be there and was upset that they weren't wearing masks, said that the group appeared to be from the Hawthorne Valley Waldorf School.
No, is that possible?
In Ghent. So.
Okay. But we don't report that. I don't know that that's true. I don't think we should.
Well,
At the New York State permitted outdoor low-risk activities. Mm-hmm. And what is permitted is tennis, non-motorized boat use, in the wintertime, golf and driving ranges, racket games, bowl tossing, bowl games, flying disc games, shuffleboard, rope courses, batting cages, shooting ranges, swim classes and swim instruction. So it doesn't look like it was out. It's like it was outlawed in New York State. What are they going to do moving forward? Are they going to put up a sign? Are they going to get a ruling from the health department?
They tried.
I don't know.
They tried to get the police department. Actually,
it can't be the police department. You have to get the order from the health department and then go through the police department.
I mean, that's what our story says, that they. They tried to call the police, but the police, of course, said, "Sorry, we can't do anything about this."
It was upsetting.
But that just highlights how people are so anxious about this and cautious and protective about this pandemic.
Well, this is interesting that you bring this up. I had a conversation earlier this week with the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. In February, they have their ski jumps coming up. And there was nothing written in the rules in Connecticut that concerned people showing up at a ski jump to watch outdoor ski jumpers. Now, what they did find out is the only skiers that are going to be jumping this year are coming from New York State because there is no travel restriction, so the jumpers can come and jump. But they were trying to find out crowd size. I mean, they have anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 people every day, okay? So I called Maria Horn, and Maria Horn, who is our representative, got back to me with some information, which I got back to, with the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. And it appears, and I say appears, that as long as things stay as they are, as long as their crowd is 25%, they limit their crowd outdoors as 25% as to what it was the previous year, they'll be allowed to go on and have, and there has to be social distancing attempted, that they, you know, not to perfection, not exactly 6 feet, but at least an appearance of social distancing. And if people gather around a fire close together or go to the snack shack, then social distancing, 6 feet, is required, and they have to wear masks. So it really is one of those subjects that's up in the air, unfortunately, that is not really covered by all these things that you think they would be covered. So that's what leads to confusion.
Yeah, but in this case, I think what people encountered were retorts from the skaters that you know, the whole idea of this being a pandemic is a hoax.
Yeah, well, that's another
story.
Yeah, that's totally different. What they should have said is, well, we will maintain, 6 feet distance and stuff like that, and we're already here.
They were outdoors. Yeah. They were outdoors, but they weren't maintaining distance from each other either.
Yeah, that's one of the...
They're all in a pod or...
It's one of the outstanding things that we're going through right now is... Hey, communication and respect with others. So we'll see what happens next week. I mean, around here during the summer, our problem was all the recreation areas were closed except for one which went through our Great Falls area because it was owned by a power plant. And so we had each weekend hundreds and hundreds of people from areas that didn't have any place to go to cool off come to this area.
Yeah,
so.
Well, we had the same thing at Bash Falls, which is right on the border between Massachusetts and New York. You know, it's a state park, I guess, and it was very overcrowded. People were too close, and it was doing damage to the natural area, and they had there were too many people in the parking lot, and so they had to close that during the summer too. It was just too many people, not enough places to go.
All right. I want to move on to your next story because I think it's great when you have a local political analyst and their look at what happened at the Capitol of the United States. I mean, this story is so expansive. And here's the thing that gets me about the story is that the people that stormed the Capitol, there were about 2,000 people that stormed. Well, there were thousands of people that didn't do this. And so that's what makes it, when I looked at this and saw the people that stayed back and didn't do this, and only a portion of the crowd did this, it obviously was something that was planned in advance. And it's something that this country is going to have to get over, and it's going to take a long time because I think what happened last week, and I'm going to find out what your political analyst thought, but just even open the division between the 70 million some that voted for Donald Trump and the 80 some million that voted for Joe Biden made the chasm even wider.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it was just shocking that they would, invade the White House.
I mean, we should explain. This is an article by Mickey Friedman, who is a regular writer of ours, who's written a very interesting article called "Civil War Two, TOO." Not the number two, but
he's punning on that.
Yeah, but he's believing. He said, the key point of his article is, I don't believe we can completely understand recent events without acknowledging that we're dealing with a dangerous cult.
Yeah.
That's his conclusion. I mean, and it's a very interesting article, but they do seem to be extremely, well organized, these people. I mean, intellectually organized. They've got the story, their perspective is very clear. And, when you come marching in an American event with Nazi flags and Confederate flags, you're expressing a very dangerous perspective.
Well, also, what's happening is the longer we get away from this distance, more detailed film is coming out and video of what happened.
Yes.
And last night, in a press release, the Washington, D.C. Attorney General said, "You haven't seen anything yet. Wait till there's going to be more stuff released about how violent this takeover of the Capitol was." The more and more video of this comes out. In the past week, you found out that they beat one person to death with a fire extinguisher.
Right.
There was another person, guard, who was beaten to within an inch of his life. There are lots of injuries. There were some of the people that died that actually were part of that. I mean, the more and more time goes by and more information comes out, and wait till there's a full-blown investigation of it, I think that's when people are going to realize how dangerous and how damaging to this country the attempted takeover of a activity going on between the Senate and the House was interrupted.
Right.
Well, also, what's worrisome is that there are more of these demonstrations planned, and
supposedly
during the inauguration.
Right.
And at every state house, and fortunately there was not a shootout, which there could have been. But at some of these other demonstrations, it's a possibility that there could be a shooting and a lot of people get killed.
Here's the sad thing about this whole event, before we move on to the next story, is that it will forever change the way inaugurations are now going to be run. There's going to be almost 8,000 National Guard troops that are going to secure a perimeter. And who knows if that will ever go away again, or if it'll always stay. This is one of the things of the times we are living through, whether it's the pandemic or whether it's this split in the population, is that the norm is no longer going to get back to the norm. There is going to be a new norm, whatever happens on both fronts from now on.
No, and I think this is no longer just Trumpism. I think this is a group of people who are actually using Trump rather than Trump using.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Trump was, legitimized what they believed, they have a momentum all their own.
But he. You have to say he did not disavow them either.
No.
But still, it's.
We were watching a very interesting program on Frontline last night about the what's his name, Alex Jones, who is a radio conspiracy theorist, and Roger Stone, who worked for Trump, realized that Alex Jones had a huge audience of conspiracy theorists. And the Trump campaign went after that audience. So that audience already existed, but Trump, gave them encouragement, and he appealed to them and,
invited them.
Yeah. Right. So they used each other. I mean, Roger Stone realized that this was a huge voting bloc that he could tap into that no one was paying any attention to. And it was enormous. I mean, it started... Roger Stone, Alex Jones was the first one who said that the 9/11 was terror attacks was an inside job. It was the government, and then he denied that the children who were killed in Connecticut at
Sandy Hook.
He denied that that existed, and in fact, they pursued the poor parents of these murdered children. I mean, they on social media, they pursued them endlessly, made their lives even more miserable, and so this is the group that Trump saw useful to him, but they pre-existed him, and they will continue to exist.
Yeah, and we'll change it just a little bit, because you also have a story that there's a support for democracy, light a candle for democracy event coming up on Friday.
And this is really our, I mean, you know, I don't know that anybody else is doing this, but our writer, Andrew Bleckman, you know, came up with this idea and sent it to us, and we thought, yes, why not? So I don't know if it's going to be picked up, but we hope that, you know, we want to give people a little encouragement that there are people on the other side, too. So
it's what he's proposing is a light a candle for democracy,
right,
and you just put a candle in your window this Friday at 8 p.m.,
right, and tell your friends.
And tell your friends, and that the window should be facing the street or sidewalk. Just so, and maybe they can, there might be people standing outside holding a candle, too, if it's possible.
Mm.
But in any case, it's just he calls it a million candles for democracy.
Right.
It's a great idea.
Yes. I think it's a great idea.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. And so we hope it catches on. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's a great idea to get people to get people positive attitudes involved in the discussion. Hey, also speaking about positive, the BSO let out some fairly good news, I would think, right? In your next story.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes. They. That's right, the Boston Symphony.
The music director, Andrus Nelson, has come back after a year's absence. I think, you know, mostly he was stuck across the Atlantic.
Right.
He couldn't come back, and the BSO were in Boston, and he was, where was he?
He's in Europe.
He was in Europe. Anyway, he's come back. So the orchestra has been playing. I mean, they have, at social distance and everything. But
they celebrated Beethoven's 250th birthday, December 16th, with a concert. It was of course virtually, but in any case.
And they are planning, they'll be performing Beethoven's 3rd, 5th, 6th, and 7th symphonies.
Right.
In 3 concerts, which are streaming in February, and they are all at the BSO website.
Right.
So they're all wearing face coverings. They're spread out on an extended symphony hall stage. They're wearing face covers to protect themselves from each other. But it is their job, and they're getting paid for it, and they're really putting their professional lives at risk.
Well, what's interesting is to see Andrus Nelson, whom you usually see dressed to the nines in a very formal wear to conduct the orchestra, in these pictures of their rehearsals, he's dressed in jeans and a T-shirt with a mask on.
Right.
But in any case, the music is great.
Right. So, and of course, no one knows whether we'll have Tanglewood this summer, but we certainly are hoping.
We'll find out as days go by. Now, you've got another writer that has written a profile on the University of Massachusetts, that a student that comes from Lenox.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this is Claudia Marino. Is proposing that people should join the AmeriCorps as a way to address disasters and reconstruction work in Lake Charles, Louisiana. That's what she's doing.
Now, AmeriCorps is the domestic equivalent of the Peace Corps.
And she's advocating this as a service that kids should do, and she's a. I think she's kind of she's a great advocate, and for this program.
And apparently, the Trump administration in 2017 tried to
kill
get
it.
Rid
yeah.
of it, you know, but it they didn't succeed. And actually, there are 75,000 people in the AmeriCorps Corps. 75,000 people in the field at any one time, and they are engaging in activities at 21,000 locations and contributing millions of man and woman hours to a vast range of education, environmental, health, and public safety projects. So this was started by Clinton in 1993. But anyway, so we have this local woman, Claudia Marino from Lenox. She was at UMass, and she decided that she was going to do something for the country, and so she did. And it's an interesting profile of what she's doing and urging that other people do it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This is a good story because it's one of those. Uplifting stories of people, even in the midst of a pandemic, are engaging in some really great work. You know,
they're putting it forward, they're paying it forward, and Lord knows we need more of that. But I've got to get to this last story because I'm going to tell you it's kind of funny, but I'm not kind of funny. The Great Barrington has named a replacement for the chief that is the police chief that's retiring. But when I read your story on this, that the person who's replacing the police chief after 40 years already has 26 years of service, so he's a good 10 to 14 years away maybe from putting in his resignation.
Yeah, right.
Well, listen, Bill Fox. The former chief.
Yeah, Walsh.
Bill Walsh had been a policeman in forever. I mean, he was just a real part of the community.
Yeah.
And his replacement is Paul Storty, and is who has also been just a veteran of the police department here in Great Barrington. And so it's a tradition.
Right. Apparently
he has the respect of other officers, and he's been a leader in advocating for a department for change and 21st century policing practices. So he was the only internal job candidate, and apparently there were 30 plus other candidates. So
I think it's smart to go with the face that is the community is familiar with. When we in Connecticut, we have state police officers that can become town. They're assigned to towns when towns want them. The town pays the bulk of their salary, and if they're there for a long time, it really makes local policing easier because they know the town, they know the lay of the land. And bringing in somebody that's got 25 years of experience to replace somebody that's been there for 40 years will not bring any upheaval to the department.
Right.
That's just smart.
Yeah, and frankly, if you walk around downtown, one of the things that our police department does is they actually walk the beat. In other words, they're visible just on... Not just simply in their patrol cars, but actually walking around and talking to people on Main Street. And I've seen Paul Storty there many times. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of known and is in a funny way available, you know. So he's a real member of the community.
All right. Well, you've got those stories, and of course.
We have others. There are several. I mean, Monday is the celebration of Martin Luther King Day. And so we have some stories about things that are available. There's a food drive. There's a National Day of Service being organized by Berkshire Community College. I mean, so there are a number of things that are happening for Monday that we have listed.
Yes, one of the selectmen in Great Barrington, as her father, was head of the Martin Luther King Foundation in Washington.
Yeah, Lee Davis.
Lee Davis.
Father, right?
So this is a very special time for us.
All right.
In Great Barrington.
All right. Well, you can keep informed, folks, the BerkshireAge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and also once a week here on Robin Hood Radio. I want you folks to have a good weekend, and if you go skating and you run into New Yorkers, make sure you put your masks on.
Okay? Please.
Yes.
Or people from Connecticut, for that matter.
For that
or
matter.
Or even people from Massachusetts.
That's right. All right, guys. I'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye. Bye.
That is, of course, the Berkshire Edge on Robin Hood Radio, and the BerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them.